Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Consulting Spotlight. And this is your host, Michael Bernzweig. This week we are joined by Michelle Weinstein. She's actually the founder of The Abundant Accountant. And with that, Michelle, I wanted to welcome you to the Consulting Spotlight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting. And I know we have a ton to cover. And I can see from some of the questions that have come in from the audience, a lot of other questions out there that hopefully we'll have some time to get to. But the bottom line, I was hoping you could, for anyone that may not be familiar with your backstory, your appearance on the Shark Tank, and some of the other notable details in your career trajectory, if you could give everybody a little bit of your background and talk a little bit about The Abundant Accountant and what you do out there.
So basically, we'll start with, I'm the founder of The Abundant Accountant, and I'm a sales strategist, and I help accounting, tax, and bookkeeping firm owners and fractional CFO firm owners transform their practices by really putting a stop to trading time for dollars, getting rid of the hourly rate, letting go of overly demanding clients, and really getting paid based on your value and your worth. So with over two decades of sales and entrepreneurial experience, I've helped countless firm owners since 2018 master the art of enrollment of high-ticket sales, double their firm revenue, and finally achieve work-life balance that they never thought was possible. And my career basically started after college. I have a degree in finance, and I ended up at Moss Adams in the M&A group. So I was a financial analyst, and that corporate gig just was not for me. And I started seeking alternatives to that typical cubicle life. And I was living in Seattle, so I got a part-time job at Nordstrom selling upscale women's clothing and really discovered the passion for customer service, sales, and everything. And it really sparked my love for sales and understanding the process and how people buy. And that really led everything to where I'm at today. And so followed by, I have a very deep passion for health and fitness. I started teaching outdoor boot camps. I started teaching spin classes on my lunch breaks. I couldn't sit in a cubicle anymore. So one day, 3 years too late, I quit my job as an analyst at Moss Adams and got into mortgages and real estate. So I was a loan officer, started learning the mortgage business, and the real estate business was my calling. And that's where really my inner entrepreneur emerged in full force. So for the next few years after that, I was in real estate mortgages, and it was taking actually a toll on my health. I was skipping the gym. I was eating a lot at burrito shops. I was back where I grew up, mostly in Arizona. And I knew I wasn't alone in this. And I saw that there was the need in the market. And I thought, well, how could I make eating healthy easy, simple, and convenient? So I took probably the most radical leap in my career, and I started a food company. Now, I had no experience in food manufacturing. I just literally wanted a personal chef in a package, but there wasn't any
time that existed.
Yeah, it was dangerous. But I was like, how do you make healthy food quick, easy, and on the go? So my passion for health and nutrition was created at that time, and a company called Fitzy Foods was born. And really what I lacked in experience, I made up in my persistence. And my persistence actually got us a retail store. We had several contracts with a local hospital chain. I got into the vitamin shop. They invested over $1 million in getting fresh prepared meals inside a company that's been doing you know, supplement distribution for eons. I pitched on Shark Tank. I did not get a deal, but I was actually brutally rejected. But at the same time, that experience really set me up for several big wins. Like I mentioned, the vitamin shop. We also got into Costco with our protein bars.
Sure.
And we worked with many professional teams in Major League Baseball and worked with a ton of the coaches in the NFL, NBA, and NHL to support their athletes. But that time came to an end when the investors did not want to continue investing and supporting the growth of the company. So I was at a crossroads again. And just like the time before, I just kind of looked at, well, what's the failure? That's a stepping stone to a new adventure. And I realized that every successful person has many stories of failure to tell. And it sparked this idea, you know, what if entrepreneurs would just talk about the real stuff, like getting rejected, being told no, you know, times we lost major deals and, you know, the days you couldn't make payroll, the lawsuits you endured, whatever it was. And, you know, I never gave up. So I started a podcast then and I said, well, you know, who do I really want to work with? And I, you know, I remembered my days at Moss Adams and I loved the introverts. I love really smart people. I love the people pleasers. And I love those business owners who offer a high value service like a fractional CFO firm owner, or bookkeeping accounting firm owner. And they really want to own their value and they want to embrace and get paid what they're worth. They just weren't taught sales. They didn't have a selling process. They're in their own way. And, you know, I said, I'll figure it out. And I did. And, you know, I'm living proof that if you stay in the game, success is inevitable. And that's really the message that I share with every firm owner that I work with today.
And, you know, it's so interesting. I think everyone looks at entrepreneurship and business as a destination, but it's really, you know, a journey of many successes and failures over many years
that
help you arrive at that final destination.
Yep.
Yeah, no, amazing. And I think we have similar roots in that, you know, early on, I had that traditional corporate career like so many. And the one thing I learned was that the corporate world was not for me. And very quickly, I started Software Oasis back in 1998, which was the super early days of the internet. And was really just an idea. And I was a 20-something-year-old kid that didn't know much, but got lucky. And it happened to have taken off right away. But it's definitely a journey. And I will share, it was not my first business. You know, I started my first business at 14. So, but no, it's interesting. And as far as that, I guess what we might call the first, you know, major journey. It sounds like health and fitness and foods. So was that company Fitzy? Is that the right? So
yes.
Okay, got it. So that was really the journey that brought you to Shark Tank.
Yep, it is.
Got it. Okay, and like if you were to look back, you know, going from that journey to appearing on Shark Tank and getting to where you are today as the pitch queen, what key lessons would you say you learned along the way from that journey?
Well, I think for, you know, anybody, especially some of you that own an accounting, CFO, bookkeeping firm, you know, I think a lot of times our minds just go blank. You're sitting with a client, you have no idea what to say, you don't have a plan for your sales call, and it really lets prospects kind of steer the conversation instead of you guiding it. And I think like pitching on Shark Tank, it's the same thing. If you don't plan and you don't prepare and you don't have your sales pitch in that instant, then you're, you know, you'll never be able to pitch in front of the shark. So I like to correlate that to, you know, a firm owner. When you think about your sales process, you can have a process on how to do the work. You have a workflow process. Like at Fitzy, I had, you know, a manufacturing process. But we need to make sure that we know how to convert a lead. Otherwise, you're not going to know how to follow up properly. You're not going to know how to take control of a call. and you're just going to get worried and freeze up. And I think a lot of people, even pitching, that happens. And it's just practice and it's repetition, but ultimately it's having a plan.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, I think like any niche consulting area, you know, I think of my CPA, you know, and at the end of the day, he had been there and done that with one of the big accounting firms, but at the end of the day went out on his own with 15 or 20 other partners, and they started their own firm. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, they are fantastic at what they do. And they're the ones that I want advising me and my family and all of my businesses. But at the end of the day, they're not salespeople.
No.
They're great at what they do, but it's not their thing. And, you know, so obviously the process, the procedure, the structure is even more important in that scenario.
It really is important to have a very easy step-by-step process to take charge of your sales calls. You know, you don't want to freak out. You don't want to freeze up. And you also don't want to feel like a pushy car salesman, nor do I want you to. But we need to learn how to demonstrate how we discuss pricing with confidence. How do we make our client experience unique and different from other firms out there in ways that feel really natural instead of like rigid techniques or things of discounting or giving low fees and hoping that in the future people will just pay you more?
Yeah,
so it's really about learning how to, you know, enroll and close more clients and end the second guessing.
And I guess at the end of the day, finding your North Star and your unique selling proposition, what is it that your firm is all about, and how do you differentiate yourself? So for a lot of the firms that you're working with, who do they find are the best referral partners for them in terms of the beginning of their onboarding process to, you know, onboard new clients even before they get to pitching a client?
Well, that would be more marketing, and I actually don't focus on that. I like to just stay in my lane and focus on the enrollment. I mean, there's so many different things you can do.
So you're helping them in that. And maybe that's better.
Because until you learn how to convert, it doesn't matter what B&I groups, what referral partners, who you talk to, because you have to have a system to be able to show the value that you bring without having to discount, without having to negotiate prices. So you don't devalue your worth in a way, and having it be simple and effortless and automatic. So you can work the hours that you want to work, and you can have plenty of time with your family and go on vacation, because until you have a system to do that and convert the leads, kind of like having a mousetrap per se, you don't want to go out to referral partners and stuff. You're going to actually lose a lot of business.
Yeah, because
just had a client. This happened to her. She was out there getting referral partners and doing lead generation and marketing. And then she was introduced to me. And she literally just told me this yesterday, because she had lost $30,000 of missed conversions. And then she also wasted about 4 months trying to do networking, get referrals, meet with prospects. And the reason why is because she didn't have a sales system in place. So
if you have a leaky bucket, it doesn't matter how much water you put in there. It's all going to fall at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so true. So she actually just the other day got 2 paid diagnostic reviews for $500 each, which in the past she would have done for free.
Yeah.
She closed a $9,000 cleanup project on someone's books. And then she also yesterday closed and signed an engagement letter with a client for $10,000 in cleanup with $750 a month of ongoing bookkeeping and CFO work for the future.
I love it.
All of that just made up for all her losses. But if she would have kept trying to get referrals and referral partners and leads, she would have had the bleeding continue. And when you create a sales system and a sales process, you can actually stop the bleeding. And that's really what this is about. You have to stop the bleeding, because otherwise, I call it similar to going to Vegas and, you know, playing the slot machine versus, you know, basically being able to have a sales workflow in your firm.
And I love it.
And really what I found is most firm owners think they need more referral partners. They need more referrals. They need to spend money and time on marketing first or spend time networking when they first start a firm or in the beginning stages. When really it's always in the future of the challenges around the sales conversation at the core. Otherwise, you're just going to get nickeled and dimed. You're going to charge low fees. You're going to price incorrectly from day one. And that's exactly what Jessica did. And maybe even worse, do free work for people. So when you're first getting started or even in the future, if you've been doing it for a while and you're wondering why you're at capacity or why you have to have such low fees to just get people in the door, without having a proper way to convert the lead, you end up, you know, feeling like burnt out and you might as well just go to Vegas and put money on black.
Yeah.
Because you have, you can hope that you have a 50% payout, or I call it, you can play a game that you have a lot more control over, like poker. So with a well thought out sales system in place, you know what cards you have in your hand, you'll be able to read the situation and figure out what cards they have in their hand, using a proven structure to follow a simple step-by-step process. So it doesn't have to be a gamble anymore. But if you continue to spend money on marketing, or if you keep trying to get referral partners, or you keep trying to go to networking events, without the right strategy or blueprint for the sales psychology of the conversation, you will not have a high ROI on those marketing efforts.
Yeah, and it's so easy to spend money. I mean, you know, there's everyone's got their hand out. And I guess at the end of the day, like a big question, you know, if I were a firm owner listening to this podcast or maybe, you know, a fractional or someone that could use the solutions that you're offering.
Yeah.
Can you walk me through like a day in the life in terms of what a practice looked like before working with your firm versus the strategy that you're helping to implement and get up and running and what life looked like after?
Yeah, I mean, I can probably just share with you, we'll just stay with, you know, Jessica, because I've already kind of shared the story with you. You know, Jessica, when she first met me, I mean, she's more of a newer firm owner. And I think really the thing that sets her apart from the rest is that prior to working with me in our 8-week sales mastery program, she felt exhausted and defeated. And I think many firm owners feel that way.
Yeah.
She had even taken beginner organic marketing and was generating those leads like I had shared. But after 4 months of having sales calls with people, she hadn't signed up any clients. So what she realized is that without a structured sales process, she was just improvising and winging it with every single new lead that she got. So if it was from networking, a BNI meeting, her organic marketing on Facebook, it didn't matter. She wasted 4 months and missed out on $30,000 of potential revenue. So an instructor actually in her marketing course had done an email introduction to me, after recognizing that she was kind of in dire need of sales expertise. But her biggest fear going into this was, oh my gosh, I already don't have any money. I've already wasted, you know, this time, 4 months of my life and missed out on $30,000. How can I make an investment of a sizable size of time and money to figure out this piece? Well, this piece is actually the thing that makes you money, because all the other stuff doesn't make you money. And it was a really big decision for her, but she actually ended up putting the investment on a credit card because she wanted to invest in herself and in her business and for the future of her firm, knowing that she wanted to master the sales workflow, which was the ingredient she was actually missing. And she didn't want to go get a job, go to corporate or do any of that. She was committed to her firm. And so some of the key, I would say, transformational takeaways that she shared with me was that she realized her true worth. That was the pivotal moment. She learned how to focus on pain points for her clients versus talk in, like I call, accountanese, where you get buried in the details of how and all that with the technical accounting, fractional CFO, bookkeeping jargon. We have to eliminate that. And she learned how to get all the documents and access to people's QuickBooks or financial statements before having a sales meeting. And that was really the game changer for her. And she was so happy that, you know, she's now equipped, because she literally just shared this on Facebook with me, what I read you earlier. She has a step-by-step sales process to follow. She has the tools in place. She actually has a sales workflow, a sales binder that she can refer to whenever she needs it. And, you know, like anything, there is a learning curve, and it's going to take time, practice, and repetition. But, you know, she knows she's on her way, and now she has money in her bank that proves that she's on her way. And she's, you know, really, and it's, excited.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And what's really eye-opening to me is it sounds like the solution that you're providing to your clients is the ideal complement to the solution that we're providing to our community here at Software Oasis. Mm-hmm. Our platform is really a structured process for consulting firms, niche consulting firms, mm-hmm. to onboard new clients. Via strategic partnerships, you know, yeah. once they have that process down. So my guess is that we have a lot of clients that could use exactly what you're offering. And what's interesting to me, I actually just had a new client come aboard a few weeks ago, and he said to me, Michael, he said, you know, I have to tell you, this was before we started. He said, I'm a little skeptical. He said, we spent about $60,000 and several months with traditional lead generation. And you know how many clients we onboarded? None. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, exactly. I've been on your platform for literally weeks, and you've mm-hmm. introduced us to more perfect referral partners, and we've already onboarded some clients that we didn't do over several months that we were working with this other firm. So it's exactly that. It's a matter of having the right process, the right procedure, the right structure in place on all ends, you know, traditional.
And if anyone here who's listening owns a fractional CFO, bookkeeping firm, tax or accounting firm, you know, you can book a call with me and my team at theabundantcall.com, and we will show you exactly how to take back control of every sales conversation. How do you close high quality, high paying clients for your firm specific to you and establish yourself as the premium, you know?
Yeah, and what we're going to do, we'll leave obviously a link in the show notes for anybody that would like to reach out and all of that. And so I guess the other part of it, I was hoping, you know, with the rise of AI automation and all of that in accounting, every firm out there is being bombarded by so many different approaches and strategies and things coming at them every day. What's your take on AI and accounting?
Well, I think AI is a great tool. I think it'll take over some basic compliance stuff. And what it won't take over is human interaction. It won't take over the art of enrollment. It won't take over being able to take control of a sales conversation. It won't take over how to close more high-paying clients. It won't take over that actual art. It is an art to learn. And, you know, I can get that AI probably is, you know, creating stress and anxiety in most people, but you have to really be able to focus your firm on the higher value services. Advisory services is not going to be taken over from AI. And if it is, it'll be not probably in our lifetime. But yeah, it's really about how you have that financial freedom and being able to create the practice in the firm that drives revenue, because AI won't drive revenue. You know, it can maybe do a tax return, but it's not going to help somebody with multiple businesses and all of that. You know, you have to be able to understand how to communicate your value, how to have a formula of commanding your true value, and how to get paid your worth, how to double your fees, maybe triple your fees, and come without being pushy or salesy. And no AI can do any of that.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this, because obviously in preparing for the episode, it was something I noted, and I've seen the question come in from a lot of audience listeners. You know, one of the keys that you've mentioned time and time again is the importance of value-based pricing.
Yep.
For accounting firms. How do you help accountants transition from the concept of hourly billing to billing based on value delivered?
Yeah, well, and that's a great question. I think a lot of that is going to be unique and custom to each of you, because some of you might be charging hourly, some of you might be doing a retainer. But really, if you think about what you do, you're solving a problem and you have a solution to offer. So it's like the bigger the problem they have, the bigger solution that you deliver, the more fees you can charge. So we discussed that, though, on our one-on-one calls, that you can go to theabundantcall.com and book a call with me and my team, because I think it's really important to have an automatic way to think about your pricing. How can you even double or triple your pricing? I mean, just like Jessica just did, she used to do a diagnostic for free. She would just look at that stuff for clients, and now she's charging $500 because that's just what makes her happy. So I think the real problem is that firm owners don't have a system. They don't have a system for working with ideal clients. They don't have a system to maximize revenue using value pricing. And most of you want to gain back your freedom. And in order to gain back your freedom, you need to have a sales workflow system to grow your firm so you can enjoy your work and your family without working long hours and having to be stressed out all the time.
And I guess that leads to a really great question. So should an accounting firm, you know, let's say a mid-sized accounting firm, obviously a solopreneur is different, but should a mid-sized accounting firm have separate responsibilities for, you know, partners and accountants versus the whole sales process? Should it be a separate process? Because do you want to have your highest paid individuals doing that client onboarding, or are they just part of the process?
It really depends. And, you know, there's some people we've worked with that have their one man show. There's others that are working with, you know, two or three partners in a firm, or maybe you have an admin or an assistant. And I think it really just comes down to what works for you to convert the most leads into clients so you can make yourself free to do whatever you want when you want. And you don't miss any more conversions. You never underprice, and you can hire someone for a very high salary to take off the workload off your shoulders. So you can save money for retirement, go on nice trips and all that. So I think it's really customized to each person on how do you want to do the onboarding in your firm versus the person who's doing the enrollment and getting the business in the door. And it might be the same person, or it might be a combination, but either way, we have to think about what it works for you, you know. But the only way you lose is by not taking action and doing something different. So if something's not working, my recommendation would be to try something different. And if you need help figuring out what that is, you can go to theabundantcall.com. We can find a spot that works for you and have a strategy call to figure out what is the best way. Should you be doing the sales? Should you and a teammate be doing it? We've worked with a lot of people where two firm owners work the sales process and create that workflow, and then both of them have the education around it, because bringing in the money in the door is the only thing that your top line revenue on your P&L stands for. So if you don't have that piece down, then you can't pay expenses and rent and have a great team and all that stuff. So it all starts with top line revenue.
Yeah. What are the other types of professional services where you're process and strategy is a great fit, just like accounting?
Anywhere. If you have a business, you need top line revenue. I only work with fractional CFOs, bookkeeping firm owners, accounting firm owners, and tax firm owners.
Okay, so but specifically in that area. And one other, you know, question that I saw come up, and I guess I'll ask you because it's your world. At the end of the day, for a lot of niche consulting firms, you know, let's face it, if you can do whatever it is that you're doing sitting in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. Someone can do that same thing somewhere else with a much lower cost of doing business. Do you see international firms, chipping into this specific market?
Yeah, I definitely see some of my clients might outsource some of the actual work being done, but they're not outsourcing the client experience, any of the client interactions. You know, if it's to input data on a tax return or input and download statements onto someone's QuickBooks, or, you know, maybe read and collect data on P&Ls, it's you got to think about, you're like the doctor. So if you're the doctor performing surgery, you're not going to outsource that to another country.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of great sense, because
so your admin can be outsourced, your email, you know, maybe some of the basic work. But if you want to get paid top dollar and you want to get paid your worth and you want to attract and close high quality, high paying clients, you need to establish yourself as a premium.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So as we're wrapping up, I just wanted to, you know, understand from your perspective, because obviously you have a very unique vantage point, looking ahead over the next several years, you know, in this segment of the market, how do you believe accounting services will need to be sold over the next few years?
I think they're just going to need to be sold the way I'm teaching people. And I think as a collective, if the industry wants to increase, you know, their revenue and take more vacations and get paid their worth and not work 14, 18 hour days, not be put up against deadlines, and actually, you know, for CFO services charge $5, $10, $20, $30,000 a month, depending on the business size, as a collective, the accounting, tax, the bookkeeping world and firm owners need to get on board with charging more higher fees. They need to change as a collective and as a whole. And like I mentioned earlier, if you don't take any action, then you're still going to get tire kickers. You're going to get asked people or people asking you for discounts. You're going to continue feeling like you're losing money. And, you know, you want to have valuable clients instead. And you want to receive fees in advance.
Yeah, that was really a great deep dive. And I very much appreciate you joining and sharing with
us
from your home base there in San Diego. Michelle Weinstein of The Abundant Accountant, thank you so much for joining us. We will leave a link in the show notes for anybody that would like to reach out. As always, be sure to listen to our other podcasts, the Consulting Spotlight that you're listening to, the Software Spotlight, and the Career Spotlight for Tech Careers. Mm-hmm. Be sure to subscribe to our biweekly newsletter at softwareoasis.com/subscribe. So once again, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to speaking to some of the firm owners. And I also have a podcast for firm owners. If you want to listen to it, it's called The Abundant Accountant Podcast.
Oh, fun. We'll leave that in the show notes as well.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network with more than 200,000 listeners each month. You're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today. Get ahead with real AI strategies. Join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.